This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ya koe to our brand new Marshall Islands listeners who joined us here on Radio Australia on Friday, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name's Tinido Aruna, and alongside me each week is my koe, Sammy White. Sammy.
Big T, how are you, my friend? Voice is all right?
You're screaming? Yeah, a bit of yelling over the weekend. Yelling? Kids footy, A-grade footy, it was cold out west. I ran the water, so I was actually barking orders to my team.
Are you that annoying blue shirt that stays in the, on the field the whole time?
And then the grounds manager actually had to come and grab me and say, mate, you can't keep doing it. So I could only go on when our team had the ball. But a great, great weekend.
Looking forward to today, mate. Sounded good. I like the nice deep voice that you have for us and all our listeners. But hey, great to hear that Marshall Islands are tuning in. Spent some time in Majuro over there for the Micronesia Games. Fantastic spot. Beautiful scenery. So welcome to all the listeners from the Marshalls.
Which means many islands.
Many islands. And it's an atoll as well. So I think that's a confusion piece around.
What's an atoll?
It's a ring. So like it's a ring.
A ring of islands.
Yeah, you know, let's. I failed geography. But anyway, big weekend to wrap up NRL round 15. A lightning break. So it had everything during that game against the Bulldogs in Souths. My cousin, Isaiah Katoa, is just absolutely carving up with the Dolphins. Another 50-pointer in that game. Super Rugby Pacific, the semi-finals. Two teams are now in there with the Crusaders and the Chiefs. And see, our guest today, something a little bit different. I know we always talk to like past players or present players, referees and so forth.
But ref?
Ref. Have we talked to a ref? Sorry. Fresh off the field. Sorry.
Come
we
on, talked mate. To refs Wrong show. We're Nijan Footy, brother.
Nijan Footy. But we're going to talk to a lady that's doing some amazing work in the space of creating pathways that are outside of the field, you know, around commentating, journalism, and her name is Sheridan Graham-Tupia. She is high up at Oceania Rugby, and she has just finished up with the Oceania Rugby Commentators and Journalism Course Camp in Fiji.
Where was our invite on that one?
They wanted good people on there to learn from, so we're still learning our craft.
And so Sheridan would be similar to Frank Pulitua.
Works hand in hand. Yep, works hand in hand.
But she looks after the woman.
Yeah, making sure that there's career opportunities. If your talents don't get on the on the field.
She is also a good golfer, I heard.
Yes, she is very good. We'll get some tips off her as well.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, you mentioned the lightning over the weekend, and the Bulldogs played the Rabbitohs. 30 minutes into the game, the ref blows the whistle, NRL officials come on, and then this happens.
There's now time off, says the ref. They're going to have to go off because of the lightning.
Okay, tackle three with Tyrone. We're going to go in. Ground manager said due to the lightning.
Okay, so off because of lightning.
9 metres out, just leave it there.
So Bulldogs are 18-0 up. This happens. They usher all the players into the sheds, and then the game's put on pause for 25 minutes. Now, has this ever happened, Sammy, to you, whether it's in a game, not in a game, off field?
It actually has, my friend. In Japan, this is a very serious rule in Japan. I believe, honestly, back in the day, someone passed away from a lightning strike. I don't even think it was footy related, but just out on the field while they were playing. And ever since then, doesn't matter if it's like far away, but if you can see it, games get cancelled or caught off or delayed. Same with training. And it happened when I was playing for Panasonic, the Wild Knights, standing in the tunnel about to run out. Lightning came. There it is. 40-minute delay.
40 minutes.
40-minute, that one.
I got something that beats you on that one, Sammy. So in England, I'm playing for Wakefield in the Super League. It's been snowing all week. We turn up to the game, the field's full of snow, but if the game's cancelled, all the tickets are already sold, so our club misses out. It's a home game for us. So our owner has got himself and officials
no way.
Sweeping, brooming the snow off the field. And I'm like, we're really doing this. And then, yep, fans are turning up. Okay, all right, we're playing in the snow. It wasn't snowing at the time. So we ran out there. 15 minutes into the game, this big blizzard comes. And I'm talking a big snowstorm. I couldn't see. So I could see my teammate next to me, but I could not see the teammate after him. So two teammates down, I couldn't see. If a ball went up in the air, there's no way no one would be able to see it. And we had the fans, they're just laughing. I'm looking around going, is the ref going to call this
off? Come
on,
bro, call this off.
And then he finally blows the whistle. We're freezing. I'm cold as. He blows the whistle, calls the game off. We get in the sheds and have to play the same game a couple months later on a bye round.
I'm actually looking at a photo right now. There's boys in hoodies in the warm-up. You can't even see their boots. It's.
We thought it was a joke.
The line markings, is just it's the green patch of grass that they've just shoveled out.
Yeah, so he's just shoveled out off the sidelines and the 10 metres, so we know where the 10 metre lines are. And
that's unbelievable.
But something I'll remember forever, because not every day do you get to share that story. So yeah,
that
was
our
moment of the week.
Hi, I'm Tavana Papali'i, and I'm listening to Nation Footy.
Sammy?
Sorry. There we go. Sorry. I just knew that you're up for rugby league, but T, let's start with rugby league.
So easy. Round 15. So we covered the Sharks versus Dragons on Friday. The Sharkies getting up on that one. Sione Katoa scoring a double, the Tongan Fishermen. Now, so we only had four more games to cover over the weekend. The Titans defeated the Sea Eagles 28-8. Two tries to the Titans winger, Alofiana Khan Pereira. Sad news to the Sea Eagles, though, because Hamole Olokuatu, he reaches out to score a try. Unfortunately, he pops his shoulder out and has to come off injured. So
it didn't go back in, did it? Because the way the trainer was holding his arm, it didn't pop in straight away, and that is painful when it doesn't go back in.
Yeah, I'm just hoping there's no bone damage, because that's where he'll need to get a shoulder reconstruction. But if it is tendons and muscles, they'll be able to rehab it, and that recovery is a shorter time. But in another close game, the Roosters snatched the win over the Newcastle Knights. They won 12-8, and an incredible try from young forward Selesi Fokete. So he hits this hole, makes the break. What are you going to do? If you're a forward and you make a break, you're one-on-one with the fullback. I'm looking around, looking for support.
Yeah, I'm looking to give that pass away to the faster player, but he did it.
Nah, not Selesi. He puts on the footwork and finds the try line.
Newcastle 8, Roosters 0 played. Uelu goes left away. Tedesco, what a brilliant one-hander away to support. Down the left wing goes the front rower, beating one tackle. He's going to go all the way for the Roosters. Selesi Fokete. What a burst, what a try. Now he's involved in a bit of a contretemps with Schiller, who almost scored down at the other end less than a minute ago. What a try. Front rower Selesi Fokete.
And the Tongan international, Siwa Wong, he scored the winning try for the Tricolours. Questionable try. He grounded the ball with his forearm, but tries a try, and the Roosters win this one 12-8. The Cowboys versus the Dolphins, the AKA the Entertainers, 58-4, the Dolphins won in Townsville. They scored 10 tries in total, four tries to their left winger, Jack Bostock. I just thought, watching them the last few weeks, a very well-coached team. Everyone seems to understand their roles within the team, but also their shape. You know, once they have shape and everyone has that role, they've got more options. And through them options, you know, come support. There were a couple offloads that led to tries, but there's a big saying that I like to share to my players that I coach. It's there's a big difference between a player having to push for you or having to support you than wanting to push for you. I feel like the Dolphins have that mix of like the players wanting to play for one another.
I reckon that stemmed from the beginning of the year when they had that the heavy rain, cyclone up, and then they had the choice of, you know, looking after their family, and it was backed by their coach, you look after your family first. And it feels like now that connection is paying dividends. And what I also love about their performance is the fact in the last three games, they're for and against, 158 points for, only 18 against. So you look at that scoreline, 58-4. Yes, the 58 points is impressive, but it's also only the letting defense. One try is like defense. So I think they've got both sides of the ball down pat.
I want to mention the halves combination. You got Isaiah Katoa and also Cody Nikurima just building in confidence each week. And seems like they really compliment one another. You know, Isaiah just, I said to my son watching the game, I go, look at his positioning when he gets the ball. He puts himself in a position where he doesn't get much inside pressure. Then he holds the defenders by his tempo and being able to give the ball to Nikurima and give him time and space to make the right decision. And then if there are spaces in front of him, he's got that running game. So he took the line on, made a break, offload, try for the Dolphins. So really good combination that's building. I want to give a big shout out to Kurt Donohue, who also, remember Kurt, he was the hooker for the Butty Fijian team when we were over.
Oh, yes, yep.
So he put on one of the biggest hits of the season, and he also scored a try for the Dolphins. So he played at lock, number 13. Yeah, had a great game. But you mentioned those that for and against, the last three games. So three games ago, they beat the Dogs 44-8. Last week, 56-6 against the Dragons, and then they beat the Cowboys 58-4. So they jumped from ninth place all the way up to sixth, just with that one win. Unfortunately, Jason Tambololo, he was injured, or his strained hamstring, calf. He had a calf injury that caused him more harm during the warm-up and couldn't play that game. But big win for the Dolphins. And in the last one, the Rabbitohs took on the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs got out to a fast start. Coach Serraldo said it was one of their best starts of the season, scoring three tries in the first 15 minutes, including a try from Fijian Marcelo Motoya. Yes, they had that moment where they had to delay the game because of the lightning, which we touched on earlier. But after they came out, the Bunnies scored just before halftime, which Alex Johnson scores. And then they took that momentum into the second half and made it a competitive half where they gave themselves a chance to win the game. But they fall short. Bulldogs win this one 24-18. And Marcelo Montoya, he finishes the game with two tries, scoring, ended up being the match winner in the second half.
Ball goes left to Turpin, centre field, away to kick out. He links up the tackle, quick hands, Galvin Sherry Montoya. Oh, tiptoed through the tulips, and he's over to score in the corner, Marcelo Montoya. Turns out the Bulldogs only needed one opportunity from a drop ball. Canterbury Banks down 22, South Sydney 10, 20 minutes gone, 20 minutes left, second half.
Big back rower Viliami Kikau also racked up some big numbers. 9 tackle breaks, 6 offloads, and 148 metres gained. And the Bulldogs remain on top of the NRL ladder. Now, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Game 2, State of Origin, this Wednesday night. Sammy, it held in Perth. I think the big news out of this one was Jerome Luai replacing injured Mitch Moses. Jerome, it's like the old the old band's back together again.
It is, mate, it is.
Gets to play with his Nathan Cleary, his halves partner, who went 4 in a row, and also catching up with old teammates and all those Panthers players that were part of that dynasty.
I'm going to go a little bit early here, but I'm glad he's in, because when they do win, he's helping the boys out with their team song.
Bring some energy, please.
Bring some energy. So I've got no doubt he'll be leading the way in that department.
And then Bizza, Brian Toa, he has been cleared of his hamstring issue and he is good to go for Wednesday night. It's going to be a big game. I'm tipping the New South Wales a clean sweep, because if they win this one, then the third one's here in New South Wales, which will be hard. And I know we spoke about Spencer wanting to kick off, but big Stefano Toikamanu, he's also called for the ball off the kickoff, and he's going to be upset if he does not get that kickoff. When the forwards make the changes, it's going to be Spencer or Stefano. So one of them are going to get the
One of them's going to get angry and upset. Oh, we'll just take the second one, boys. You'll be right.
Or they just keep swapping. If they score again. But, geez, big task for the Queenslanders. And, yeah, looking forward to a big one. Speaking of Queenslanders, Mal Meninga, he has been officially named the North Sydney Bears coach for the Perth team.
The Perth Bears.
What do you think?
honestly, I reckon it's going to be a tough battle, this the Perth team. Having lived over there myself for a long time, it is AFL mad there with Frio and the Eagles. Western Force have struggled to get a footprint in there, even though, you know, the first couple of years was they had a strong membership, strong players over there. But what they're really underestimating is honestly the distance of living away from family and friends. So I've heard players here in Sydney, like, they don't like moving down the road to like Belmore or to Cogra or anything like that, but going to the other side of Australia, like, homesickness is a thing, and the travel that they're going to have to do week in, week out. It's harder than the New Zealand trip, I reckon, but it'll be interesting.
I think the only way that I can compare this to recently is the Dolphins, but Wayne Bennett, you know, he's a mastermind, and the way that he built that club, the new club in Brisbane, competing with the Broncos, but then the players that he had to bring in. We've just seen, you know, Isaiah Katoa now start to make a footprint in the NRL, and I believe that Wayne Bennett must have had that plan. Bring in this up-and-coming superstar, surround him around veterans like...
Yeah, you got the balance right, yep.
You know, what players, when you look at the current players now, what Nijan players do you think the Bears should start looking at?
Yeah, it is a good question, because the difference with probably the Dolphins, they had a junior base. Like, the league junior base in Perth is very small, nowhere near the level it is compared to Brisbane and Sydney, even New Zealand. So I think, yeah, I would be... when I look at the Western Force, they brought a lot of old heads, but like, they only had 2 years left in them. I do believe you'd want to get someone in their prime that's got at least 4 or 5 years still left in them. That's going to be hard. You've got to pay big money for them. But do you go a half, or do you go like a front rower? Like, you know, just one of those hard. Or are you trying to go after Isaiah? Because he's off contract next year, Isaiah. Or he can sign the following year, I think.
You would know, mate. You would know.
Do you go for like a half like that, or am I going for a hard-nosed forward like a Viliami kicker?
Big Viliami, Terrell May.
Terrell May, someone like that, where it's like, okay, I want to play with that guy. So that's probably where my head's at, probably more down the forward route.
See, being forwards ourselves, we'd probably try and look at those players like Junior Bolo, Josh Papali'i.
Yeah.
And then at least you've got that glue guy. You've got that enforcer there. And
yeah, then you exactly. Build around them.
Get a good half and then build around them. But KP as well, Kalen Ponga, might be a good shout. But big task ahead for Mal Meninga.
David Fifita, just to maybe resurrect his career, I guess, maybe. You know, he's from the Titans. I know he's hasn't probably had the best form, like, consistently with them. He could be someone.
Or throw the book at Payne Huss.
Oh, that's probably the best one. That's who you're going after.
GG.
$3 million to get him there. The salary cap.
Oh, well, we'll keep an eye on that one. And Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they went down in a heartbreaking 18-16 loss to the Sunshine Coast Falcons. They actually scored 4 tries to the Falcons 3, but couldn't make a single conversion, including one in the 71st minute to tie up the game. Got to get out early in training and then start kicking them goals, even if you are
those extras, yeah.
But the Hunters are in 8th position, and next weekend they play the team below them, the Brisbane Tigers. So big game ahead. New South Wales jersey flag, as we mentioned on Friday, the Silktails went down to the Sharks. They play the Roosters in Lautoka this weekend. Plenty of rugby league.
Beautiful.
New South Wales, Queensland, game 2, Perth to come. And let's head straight over to
score
rugby
prediction
union.
Before we go for Origin.
Score prediction. Prediction.
prediction.
I'm going to say 24-14 Blues.
Yeah, it's a great score. Man of the match.
Let's go with Angus Crichton.
Crichton.
I'm going Angus Crichton.
I think Jerome's in for man of the match. I'm going to go him on this one. I reckon he's in for a big game. But beautiful work, T. Well done on the rugby league front. Let's go over to rugby union now, and we are down to the final 2 in Super Rugby Pacific. The Crusaders beat the Blues 21-14, and the Chiefs were too strong for the Brumbies, winning 37-17. And that sets up a Crusaders versus Chiefs grand final this weekend in Christchurch. And from that game, What was the stat again, T, for the Crusaders? Remember how many games they won?
30 games in a row. So now they're 31.
31. 31, in Christchurch. And then they'll look at
finals wins.
So they'll try and make that 32 this weekend.
Oh, this is in Christchurch?
It's in Christchurch. Because the Chiefs lost that first game.
They lose their home. Even though they finished first.
Yep. So they had to win that one. So
make it make sense.
I know. Actually, it's it's up for review, the final system. They've actually said they're going to put it up for review to see. Again, you wouldn't believe it, another change in rugby union not being consistent. So we'll see where we end up. You know what? Just go, just do another round. All teams are in again. Have another crack.
Just try ChatGPT.
That will work. That will make more sense. Honestly, it will. But let's dive into the Crusaders versus Blues game. And it was an absolute arm wrestle. The Blues started fast. You know, solid pressure in defense. They were going at the Crusaders attacking breakdown. And off the back of that physical presence, they were able to put some really nice phases together, and Samoan winger Mark Telea scored the opening try for the Blues. Then soon after that, Crusaders back Brendan Ennor was yellow carded for a head clash attempting a tackle on number 8 Hoskins Satutu. They capitalised on the extra man. Rico Ioane scoring a nice try from the scrum to become their all-time leading try scorer, passing Tongan great Dougie Howlett. Big Dougie, that's same hair as me.
You look like Dougie.
Yeah, he's a better looking version of me. Man, good looking rooster, great winger.
Actually, no, he's cut his hair.
Has he?
He's got short hair now.
Oh, okay, I'm not doing that. Well, he's got a good head too. He looks really good. So with me, I cover my head up. But anyway, let's keep moving forward with this one. the first 20 minutes, it was all the Blues and the Crusaders. They shifted the momentum in their favour not long after, because it was almost like in similar fashion to the way the Blues had the momentum in that first 20. Crusaders score a try, then Blues prop Josh Fusitua was yellow carded, and then Will Jordan, their fullback, he scores a try right on halftime to level the scores 14-14. So there wasn't much in it between the two teams. Then the second half came. Blues began to concede a lot of penalties, especially around scrum time. They had some injuries in the front row, which didn't help. Will Jordan crosses again, and the Crusaders got up 21 points to 14. Total penalty count was about 16-8, 16-9. And even though the Blues were under a lot of pressure, man, they showed some grit. They didn't go away. And this is what I want to take us to. I want to take us to the final minutes of this game, or after the hooter. Crusaders try line defense. 6.5 minutes they defended for. And the Blues, they went 40 phases straight without knocking the ball on. This was after the final siren. So the Blues needed to score and convert to draw the game to go into extra time. And obviously the Blues were just trying to close it out.
Do you call that good good defense or bad attack?
It's a very, very good question, because I would say it's a bit of both. I'd say very good defense, very, very good defense, especially on the try line, because in union now, when you're right on the try line, people are scoring easy pick and go tries because your whole body has to be behind.
So both feet have to be behind both the line.
And your body. So people used to put both feet behind the line. Your body. Yeah. People used to put both feet behind and then have their hands in front.
Yeah, and go down.
And go down low to get that advantage and stop the try. But now your whole body has to be behind the line.
What? How is that?
Yeah, I know. That's why you can't let anyone get right on your try line.
And when can they go? As soon as the attacker touches the ball?
No, you have to wait. So there's like a 1 meter radius around the ruck.
Yep.
So it has to be cleared around that 1 meter top of radius. So
yeah, when can they get off the line though?
As soon as that ball's past that, it's like breaks that plane. Or the ball or the player breaks outside of that area.
So if I'm the halfback or the...
Yeah, if my hands are on, you can't go yet.
Oh, really?
You can't
until
go
I get until out of that 1 meter.
He probably takes a step because he's not really going to get outside 1 meter there, but takes that step.
It's different in league, because league you can just put 1 foot on the line and everything else is in front.
Yep.
And so, as soon as they play the ball...
You can go. Yeah, so you can have your hands on the ball and wait there, but you can't move. And I just thought the Crusaders' defense and their ability to stay patient and not give away a penalty in those 40 phases. They ended up giving it after the 40 phases. But what I said on Friday, I said that the Blues probably didn't have the same attacking variety as the Crusaders. And in those final phases and what you said, I just thought it might have been poor attack, you know, because all they were trying to do was bash through the middle with not just their forwards, but with their backs as well. So Rico Ioane was there taking those tight carries. Mark Teller was doing pick and go. So they had no options out the back. And I guess they were trying to aim to score near the post to make the, because they still needed to get the conversion to draw the game. So maybe they were trying to score close to the post.
Or also as well, knowing they can't play high risk attack because one knock on.
And we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen plenty of times. But in those moments, T, I know that you've been there, you love defense. Like, what's going through your mind in a defensive system and shape to be able to get your bodies off the ground, get back into defensive line, because they were gassed?
Yeah, I guess that comes back to how much work they've done during the preseason, how much that work they've done at the training field, and then also the culture that they've built, because all that is grit, determination, and how bad do you want it?
Yep.
In my mind, if I put myself in them shoes, it's just next job, and you just keep going, keep hustling, bite down on the mouth guard, and you keep moving until you get the ball down. But that comes from understanding, you know, what your team culture is. You know, you're willing to put everything on the line for your teammate next to you, and I feel like that's what the Crusaders done.
Yeah, that's very well said, and I think not just what they've built then, but their history, what that ground means.
They're protecting that legacy.
Yeah, so I thought that really showed, and they ended up, you know, turning the ball over and kicking the ball out, and they are going to try and go for their 15th title. 15 titles they're going for. So that's impressive from the Crusaders. And I think it's going to be a cracking game down there. The next game, the Chiefs and the Brumbies. I thought this was always going to be a tough game for the Brumbies. You know, Chiefs at home, you know, coming off a heartbreaking loss to the week before. It's their last game at home for their head coach, Clayton McMillan. And on top of all that, no Australian team has ever won a semi-final in New Zealand, ever. So it was against them. And then on top of that, they lose Noah Lolasile early in the game to concussion. So their main ball player, I think, is in the first 5 minutes. So they're already up against it. But to their credit, the Brumbies had a great, they were great for 45 minutes. They scored the opening try through their driving Moore. And we said on Friday, you know, 50 of their 71 tries come from possession at the line out, whether it be a driving Moore or their attacking possession starts from a line out. And they kept the score nice and tight, but the Chiefs were up 19-17 after 45 minutes. But what really separated the two teams was, honestly, fly half Damien McKenzie. That he was the biggest difference. 22 points by himself, and he does one of the best try-saving tackles you'll ever see. It was a certain try to fullback Tom Wright from the Brumbies. Makes a break. McKenzie comes across and in cover, but doesn't go to make the tackle. He's just aimed straight for the ball. Like, gets his arm underneath, locks in, and they fall to the ground together and just slides underneath it, and they both slide into the in goal, and he holds them up.
Oh, and he's underneath
the ball. He's underneath the ball.
Between the try line.
Yeah.
Put himself between the try line and the ball.
Mate, he was impressive. And both.
It feels like he's been playing for ages, eh?
Oh, forever.
Been around for a long time, but he's still quick, still young. He looks like the Joker as well. That little smirk with his
He smiles every time. And, mate, his boot was outstanding as well. There are penalty goals. He just kept that scoreboard ticking over. So I think his class just takes the Chiefs to another level. And then you add the X factor, like Fijian winger Narua, who scored a double on the weekend. Forwards like Taukeoho, Finau, Samipeni, Va'i, Satiti. They are fit, skillful, big, smart players. It just adds layers to their game to be able to score points. So I thought that's what their biggest difference was, and why after that sort of 45, 50-minute period, the cream just came to the top there.
So this sets us up for a big one, Chiefs versus Crusaders in Christchurch.
In Christchurch.
Although Chiefs finished on top of the ladder.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. I didn't know that that was going to be the rule. I just thought, oh, it's going to be in Hamilton.
But I'd be surprised if Chiefs even knew that.
Maybe not. Well, we didn't even know how the semi-final format works. So
I remember last year you were trying to explain it to me, and then all these different scenarios. But anyway, big one. Who are you tipping in this one?
I'm going to go the
first lost in 31 games at home. Crusaders.
It's got to happen sometime, and I think I am going to back the Crusaders. But there's a bit of me that thinks the Chiefs are going to break the hoodoo.
Do you reckon there'll be some cowbells down at
100%? There'll be some cowbells in Christchurch. But I think this is also the last game in Christchurch at that stadium before it gets knocked down. So there's a bit more added spice to this one. So the Crusaders will get a new stadium. And finally, the Oceania Rugby Championship wrapped up over the weekend in Singatoka, and Fijiana beat Manusina 24-20 in a tight one to be claimed champions, which is perfect, which will lead us into our guest, Sheridan, who's going to talk us about not just the game, but how our commentators went and how that all unfolded there in Fiji.
Great work, Sammy. Let's get straight to our interview with Sheridan Graham Tupaia.
My name's Jack Lamb, and I'm listening to Nation Footy.
T, as much as we love talking to players, both past and present, coaches and referees in the game, I also love the fact that we get to chat with people who are doing some amazing things to ensure there's other career opportunities in rugby if your talents don't take you on the field. And our next guest is the Senior Manager of Women's Rugby Projects for Oceania Rugby. And she just completed the journalists and commentators camp in Fiji that she hosted. And she's also not a bad golfer as well. And we have Sheridan Graham Tupaia from Oceania Rugby joining us right now. Sheridan, thank you so much for joining us.
Kia ora. Thanks, Sam and T. Great to be with you guys and talking all things, well, women in sport, women in rugby.
Absolutely. Yep. With a little bit of golf in there because we need a couple of tips. I know my mate, he's he needs a few tips.
I'm itching for the first question.
For the first question.
And it's not even related to rugby. It's all golf.
He wants to get it out of the way straight away. Okay, but first one up here, like, I guess I used to think that the only way to have a career in sport was as a player or as a coach. I never really considered roles in administration or the media, like what we do now. But you know, with your LinkedIn profile, it says you're a sports enthusiast, passionate about growing and developing the sporting industry, and you've clearly turned that into a passion. I turned that passion into a career. How did you discover this was even possible? And when did you know you were going to make a career out of it?
I guess like you, I was, you know, always of that thought that I had to be a player. So I was lucky enough as a university student to be on a scholarship at an American university playing golf. So golf is my background, and I did my 4 years there and managed to get 2 degrees out of it, being paid for completely by my scholarship there. But I also realised that in order to make a living, I had to be quite high up there within women's golf because the pay was just not on par with men at the time. And I realized that I would be living out of my car, living out of my suitcase, and having to do a lot of other side hustles at the same time. So I actually then went into the PGA vocational pathway, where I trained for 3 years in an apprenticeship to be a teaching professional, with the option at the end of it if I wanted to try and pursue that playing career. I did realize though quickly that I really loved the administration side of things, and so when I graduated from the PGA, I then took up a job working in golf here in New South Wales, so with Jack Newton Junior Golf, and I loved being part of that journey for other, you know, for kids from grassroots through to elite. I was helping in the pathway there and giving them opportunities to play. So I guess that's where my love for sports administration came in. And then as things evolved and I stepped into other roles in other sports, it was that feeling of being able to provide opportunities for others through something that I loved so much in sport. And now even with my own children, like, we are involved in that many different sports and clubs. I don't know. It's just something you go from being a fan to being a player, being a fan, and now you're actually part of helping that journey for other people. And I guess in my role now, helping women in rugby and in the Pacific, that's, I don't know, kind of just makes my heart full.
I'm actually quite excited now that
As opposed to before?
No, because I thought we were going to come on and talk about rugby union, but now I can ask some golf questions. but I got to play over the weekend, and you're looking at the current Rudy Hill RSL champion. I won a 40.
So one player.
I won a $40 voucher, and in my in my golf club, the average age is 70 plus. I got to shave 2 points off my handicap from 31 to 29. So, what was your lowest handicap that you got down to as a golfer?
As an amateur, before I turned professional, I was down on +1.
+1.
Oh, wow. That's good,
Do you know what that means, Sam?
Which is actually -1, but it's like, yeah, they call it plus one in golf.
And how did you get started in the game of golf?
My whole family played. My grandparents played. I mean, I was born and raised in New Zealand and at a small country course. My grandparents played, my parents played, my aunties and uncles, my cousins. So I started with a cut down 7-iron and a cut down 4-iron and a putter, and I would sit on my dad's trundler as we went around our little 12-hole course in Waipawa, and yeah, just went from there. My parents said to me, once you gain your handicap, we'll buy you your first set of clubs. Did that, and then once I got down to below 10, so onto single figures, then I got upgraded to a, you know, the good set of clubs.
That's awesome.
Now let's get back to what we're here, what we're supposed to be talking about. You just recently finished up the commentators and journalists camp in Fiji. Nine ladies from across the Pacific were able to be a part of it, and it looked amazing because they were at the Women's Oceania Games that were on the test matches, and saw, I guess, they were practicing their craft, doing their interviews, commentating throughout that time. Firstly, how did this idea come about?
Yeah, so I joined Oceania Rugby in June last year, and I sort of got to know the ropes, the programs, and, you know, where we were at. I also got to meet a lot of the women in our community. So while I was getting to know them, I got to hear some stories, amazing stories, like stories that we take for granted. I spoke to one of the managers of the women's sevens team in the Solomon Islands. She was telling me about how young girls in one of the provinces get home from school, they paddle across the lagoon to go to training. Then they paddle home. They do that something like three times a week or something like that. Then I heard from in Tonga, there's a bunch of young single mothers that are working as sort of what they call interns, really voluntary in the administration side of things, helping to keep the community level sports going. So it was these kind of stories that I was like, why are we not hearing this? Why, you know, why are we not sharing this with the world? This makes our region so unique, and everyone else should be hearing these. So I sort of thought to myself, I'd really love to put together a communications and media program, and how do I expand on that? So I was given Aaron Carney's name from the ABC International Development. So I reached out to him and basically said, you know, this is what I'd love if we could somehow come up with a program. And he said, Sheridan, write your wish list and we'll see what we can come up with, you know, at the ABC ID. So I did that, and basically Sally Eales came on board and she said, look, we can offer this, this and this in a program. And so it was mainly focused on commentary and mobile journalism, so that ability to especially hear our women's voices and then share as much content and hopefully equip some of our smaller member unions to be able to share their stories as well. So from that, we developed the camp. We opened up expressions of interest for the program, and it started off with a four-week online training program. We received over 70 expressions of interest in the program, and 20 people or 20 women were selected for the online component. So we did 4 weeks of training, and we had specialists come in to teach them about vertical videos. We had Peter Longman come in and teach commentary. The opportunity then for the woman to record their own commentary, send it back and get some feedback. We had Alicia Quirk come on and tell us about her journey into the commentary space. And then through this all, I had kept in contact with some of key women within World Rugby and told them about it. And the overall goal was, by the time we have the Men's and Women's World Cups come down to Australia, which 27 and 29, was that we've got an army of women ready to go and ready to share this experience, this in the media, whether they're doing it for their own countries, you know, feeding back that news. That was the idea, and it aligned quite well with World Rugby's impact strategy. So through that, I was able to get some connections and help with bringing across two key facilitators as well. And our camp program moved from those 20 in the online space to then 9 selected to come over to Fiji for face-to-face training. And we were lucky enough to then have Ricky Swinnell join us. You know, she seems like the voice of women's rugby at the moment. And then Arizona Ledger to come over and help with content creation. So it was awesome to pair them up with Aaron Carney and Sally Eels from the ABC ID. The women were able to come to Fiji and have that face-to-face training. And we were lucky because we aligned it with the Oceania Under-20s Championship and the Oceania Women's Championship. We had live, you know, on-the-ground experience for these women. And then our friends at Fiji Broadcasting Corporation were able to put two of the women straight into the commentary box. So, you know, they went live to TV as analysts, helping with play-by-play. So, yeah, the experience that they got and the content they were able to create and share is just amazing. And now we're lucky enough that two will be selected from the program to head over at the start of the Women's Rugby World Cup to do some further training, development and vlogging. So, yeah, that's how we came about it.
It sounds awesome. And I feel like we need to jump on this course as well, Sammy.
Yeah, we need to. Well, we had Peter as well. Peter Longman, he gave us our bit of training when we first started Nijan footy. So it's cool to hear some familiar names as well, still wanting to give back and share their knowledge as well. What about at the start of these camps? Do you factor in our Pacific Island shyness and find a way to make sure you break the ice, that our females get out of their comfort zone and get to it straight away, not wait till day three and day four to feel comfortable?
It's funny you say that because the group that we had, we were blown away, me and Sally from the ABC ID. These women just jumped headfirst into it, which made me so happy because I was like, you know, we didn't have to do that icebreaker. And I was like, man, we have women there. We have women in our region ready to do this. And they were up late at night prepping for games. They were up early in the morning, you know, preparing things. They had content outlines. They were just pumping out stuff. So, yeah, I'm really glad we didn't have to do that. And it just goes to show that there are women in our region ready to go.
What was the biggest challenge to put something like this together?
Getting buy-in from everyone, really. Like, here I went in thinking this is my, you know, vision and dream. Is it going to pay off? And how are we going to align it with everything that's going on at the same time? So I think that's why I really feel that it exceeded my expectations, because everyone was so willing to be on board. The coverage, now out of it, I'm having people write to me and say, can we talk about how it was pitched, and we want to model something similar over in other regions of the world, and other sports reaching out, which is really, really fantastic. I think perhaps sometimes logistics within the Pacific is always
Fiji time.
Yeah, hey, we're getting there. Baby steps are getting there.
We've been there.
We have
before.
A camp. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You know, what does a camp like this do to empowering more women, not just the ones that you selected? Because I know that you said that 70 came through, but you had to pick it from 20 from online and break it down to 9. Like, but what does that do to help empower women to be able to come forward and get more applicants?
Well, I just think it shows them. It shows them that it is possible. There are options out there, and there are organisations like us at Oceania Rugby, like the ABC ID, that are out there willing to help women in the space. You know, I think sometimes you need that, what is it, the saying, you can't be what you can't see. Well, you know, you can be what you can see. So just putting it out there and having these women who act as like role models, and I think they are role models in their own right, but just having them there and continually advocating, now women and girls from across our region can see, okay, there's opportunities. Who do I need to see? Who do I need to ask? What, you know, how do I go about it?
And is that something you hope to see in the future, you know, when women's sports are being played, that we've got, you know, women commentators and women media managers? Is that part of the vision?
Absolutely. You know, we've got so many women that are capable of doing this, and I think they bring, I don't know, a unique flair when they're talking about women's sports. They understand it. A lot of them were previous players, referees. So they know what these women have gone through to get there. They can speak directly. Like, obviously, in the teams that played, we had women who were mothers. And, you know, there's that direct link with those who are telling the story from this end. And I also just think to be able to hear it for the girls that are at home watching coverage of women's sport, for the girls and boys can hear women commentating. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's I think it's imperative that they are showcased.
Yeah, and I think also I'm just speaking, looking at my mother.
I was about to say that your mum is a big advocate for,
she loves
creating pathways, sharing knowledge.
Sharing knowledge. I call her the number one news reporter because if there's any news across sport, she's usually the first one to post.
Especially the Cook Island sport. But just as much as the visual representation is very important, but how important is it to have the stories being told through the lens of our Pacifica women, you know, who can relate to players on the field and relate to their upbringing, their cultural heritage as well.
Yeah, well, and their challenges.
The challenges, yes.
Like, we are not without challenges, and these women who are involved in the program understand our cultural nuances and, you know, what we have to overcome to get there. So I think that's hugely important.
But it's amazing work, unbelievable. I'm glad you're the person leading that. And, you know, I've seen you at the Pacific Youth Cup. You know, you've got this title of running the organisations, but you're the one putting toilet paper rolls in the toilet. You're cleaning up. So you're also, you know, someone of action, which I also love about you. We'll shift over to Pernina Pacifica because I know you were heavily involved in putting them together as well. What does the future look like for Pernina Pacifica potentially entering into Super Rugby?
Yeah, that's a hard one to comment on at the moment, obviously. There are so many different factors, you know, all of the other teams are franchises within that. So if we had some potential backers and, you know, wanting to create franchises, obviously there's opportunity there. But more often the whole program is based on that player pathway and how do we give more women and girls from particularly Tonga, Samoa and some of our other islands, hopefully, the opportunity or to experience that elite player pathway. So that's the overall goal of it. The Pernina program is to expose them to more high-performance level play. I know it would be brilliant to have them into a competition like Super W, but I can't say how much, you know, that's going to go on further without a really big commercial sponsor come on and say, we want to take this on. But at the moment, it's just focused on that development level in the high-performance space.
You mentioned the governance. You know, what do you think they're missing pieces, or where do we need to improve to be in those positions or be in those roles?
Just having a seat at the table.
Yeah.
A lot of the times there aren't any women, or there's only one or two, and their voting rights or, you know, actually being effective on that board. But again, we have to give those women coming through the confidence to be able to step up and say, yes, we need this, we need that. And yes, I have a voice at that table, because sometimes I think it's can be a little bit tokenistic. Yes, we've got a woman on the board, but how much, you know, say does she have, kind of thing. So really empowering them in that space, but giving them the skills to feel confident enough to do that.
Awesome. Nice work. I heard a saying around that, actually. If you don't have a seat at the table, you're just on the menu. You like that one? Mm-hmm. Or should I just move on and wrap it up?
Just wrap it up.
Fair enough. All right, Sheridan. It's honestly been lovely to chat with you. We love the work that you are doing in that space and making sure that there are pathways outside of the being on the field. Please stay in that role for a long time. We'll check in with Frankie Pulitura to make sure that your wages get bumped up so you stay there and don't move on and get poached. Thank you so much and keep fighting the good fight.
No worries. Thanks, Sam.
Hi, I'm Stefano Otokamani and you're listening. Oh, sorry.
You're listening. Nah,
leave it there. We'll leave that one in. Nah, thanks.
And you're listening to Nation Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
This is our game of categories. 3 points up for grabs each week. Might be about footy, might not. The loser has to shout the other host there and their partner a spa day dinner at the
yes,
the end of the year.
Yes.
Scores is I'm on 21, you're on 19.
You killed it last. You got all three, didn't you?
Yeah, they were good questions.
Yeah, because you got all three.
It was good. Are you up again this week?
No, it's you, my friend. So you only float between hard and difficult. So hopefully you have some sensible ones for today to help me catch up.
We've got a fun one today. It's and if you're listening at home, you can play along. We're doing a spelling.
Oh, give me three names.
Three names to spell. Give me three names to spell.
My school traumas coming back to me. I can't spell.
No, you can. So
can I spell Islander names?
I'll stay away from, you know, Mark Nawanga Nite Wase.
I'd probably have a better chance with that one.
That's nah, what I jokes. Said. Tino Fa'asua Maliawi.
Okay, get my pen
I
and
thought
paper
I'd
up.
Pick three try scorers from round 15 over the weekend.
Okay.
Who are also Nijin players. We spoke about this
Fulketi?
Player. No, not Fulketi.
Oh, that was an easy one.
We spoke about this one on Friday, and I actually messaged. So he played Thursday night. I messaged Valentine Holmes while he was in Queensland camp.
H-O-L-M-E-S.
What one nationality is Lycan King Tongia.
Oh, yep.
And
he's
he
Tongan.
Said he's Tongan. So there's your first one.
Do Lycan, I have to spell the whole his whole name or just his last name?
Whole name. Lycan King Tongia.
Oh, my goodness. Lycan. Lycan? Or Lycan? Lycan?
Lycan.
Lycan. L-A-I-K-E-N.
And wrong.
So wrong again. But can I get half a point if I get the next bit right? King, K-I-N-G. That's a Tongia, T-O-N-G-I-A.
It was L-Y-H-K-N-A-N.
Oh, why would you put a H in there?
Second one. Gold Coast Titans, winger, two tries, Alofiana Khan Pereira.
Say his first name.
We've said his name
I know we have,
so
but
many
just,
times.
Just say it slowly.
Alofiana.
Alofiana. A-L-O-F-I-A-N-A.
Yep.
Khan, K-A-H-N, P-E-R-E-R-A. What did I do for the last? I got no idea where I got. I lost my thought.
Nah, it was Khan Pereira. K-H-A-N.
Oh.
And Pereira's P-E-R-E.
Why do you have a H in your name again, son?
E-I-R-A.
Get the silent
Sorry,
H's out. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I really dislike you right now. This is
not fair. If you get this
I'm
one wrong.
I'm exposing myself.
If you get this one wrong, I'll give you one more. So, next one. Kurt Donohue.
There's another H in here.
There's another. There is.
Kurt, just give me K-U-R-T, surely.
Yep,
there's no...
Done.
All right, there's half a point. Donohue. Mate, Donohue. Do you know how many times I spelled Donohue wrong? It's an Irish name. Irish name? Yeah.
O'Donohue's.
O'Donohue's. And autocorrect gets me to where I need to go.
Just try to spell it out like...
Oh, thanks, Matt. What have I been doing the last three
you,
two
you,
names?
I'll give you one that
Donohue,
you should know.
D-O-N?
Yep.
O?
Yep.
H?
No.
U-G-E.
No. D-O-N-O-D-H-O-E. All right, last one. Mark Nawanga Nite Wase. You got that.
Oh, no, I don't have this. Mark. M-A-R-K.
Yep.
Na. N-A-W-A. W-A.
Yep.
Q.
Yep.
A.
Yep.
N.
Yep.
I.
Yep.
T.
Yes.
A.
Yes.
W.
Yep.
A.
Yep.
S-E.
S-E. I knew you'd get that
oh,
one
Oh, well,
right,
how do
bro.
I get the Fijian one with 400 letters and I can't get Donohue?
That's the best. I'll give you 1 point, mate.
Thanks, mate. I'll take that one. Oh, my God. That's our time up for another Nijin Footy Monday. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. I'll see you on Friday. Hey, you're off to Japan tomorrow.
I am.
Hey, have a good trip, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Jane.
I'll see you next Friday.
Kiosk get there. It means take care. Come back.
Thank you.
No worries.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.